Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 92 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, we're going to hear a little bit from Melanie about some royal family developments, or at least some royal family television developments. We're going to talk about some of our goals, and I use that word loosely, for 2018, and we're also going to talk about a new beauty product that Melanie has tried and loved. Finally, we're going to talk about college football, and this will be no surprise because it's January and there's a national championship game coming up, and we needed to break that thing down a little bit, especially in regards to the playoff games that we loved so much. So, before we get to all that fun, just a quick reminder. If you're on Facebook, we are too. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebigboocast, and then you can follow us individually on social media. On Twitter, I'm Boo Mama. Melanie is at Big Mama. And then on Instagram, you can find Melanie at Melanie Schenkel, and I'm at BooMama205. We're so glad you are here as we get ready to kick off our 2018 podcast, and we hope you enjoy episode 92. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And I don't know what it's like in your world right now, but it's Saturday morning in our worlds right now.
Which is, I love a Saturday morning.
Oh, my word. I do, too. I slept. Now, you know, I'm not one to sleep super late, but
yeah,
I did sleep until 8 o'clock this morning.
Oh, that's so funny. That must be something because Perry is out of town. And so Caroline and I both slept in my room with the dogs last night. And last night I was kind of dreading because I was like, normally Perry gets up early. So he lets the dogs out and all that. And I was like, ugh, I said, those dogs, I'm going to have to let them out by 7 a.m. But the dogs slept in. We all slept till 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
I know. I think they were very cozy in their beds. I think it's this cooler weather, you know, like nobody wants to get up.
Well, last night, David went to bed before I did. And when I went to bed, Hazel had gotten on my side of the bed, which normally she sleeps like at the foot of our bed on the couch. She does not sleep in our bed. But last night she was in our bed and she was on my side. And when I like turned the covers back on my side to try to make room for myself,
yeah,
she snapped at me. Like she was not having it. Like, and so I just covered her up with covers and scooted her as she snapped. I thought, Hazel, we're all very cold. Like I'm sorry. We're all very cold.
Yes, but there's no reason. Do not bite the hand that feeds you, Hazel. Uh-uh. It's not going to serve you well.
Uh-uh. Which I think I said it after Christmas. I've said it to people in person if I did not say it on the podcast. Christmas was terrible for Hazel. Like she just, she was as the worst she's ever been in terms of her anxiety, her possessiveness, all of these things. If she were my actual child, I would be making an appointment to take her to therapy. Like we would need to work through some of these anger issues that she is developing. And I don't know what's going on with her.
Maybe she's a teenager. Maybe it's her teen years are rough. You know, she's got maybe some hormonal issues. Maybe
I'm going to tell you, Alex is navigating that thing a lot better than she is. golly, she just, bless her. You know, the vet told me, I ended up having to have a conversation with the vet a couple of months ago because we took her to get a bath and then they had to call us to come get her and because she wouldn't let them bathe her. Wow. And I know you know about being refused service. And so,
the walk of shame into the vet clinic. Yes.
And so I talked to the vet and I said, I don't know what to do with her. She is really happy. If it's just the three of us, apparently, unless she's sleeping on a 20 degree night. She can't handle any, like, she can't roll with anything. And the vet told me, she said, imagine the most anxiety riddled person you have ever known in your life. Like somebody who has major abandonment issues and deep separation anxiety. Do you think that person in real life would ever get better? And I said, probably not. she said, "That's Hazel."
Unless they find Jesus, which right. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to assume that Hazel hadn't found Jesus. I just don't know that that's really going to be something she's going to be able to put her unless she start. Maybe if she starts having a morning quiet maybe time, so, she'd be better.
Maybe I need to sort of involve her. Did Paul David Tripp write a book for dogs? That's what I want to know.
Maybe if you read her a psalm every morning. It would bring her comfort in where her security lies. Yes. And she could
not to us, oh Lord, not to us. That's not even a psalm, but maybe it is a psalm. That is a psalm. That is a psalm.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
So, oh God, that is hilarious.
So that's what we're dealing with over here is Hazel is running our lives pretty much. Mm-hmm.
And, I know. Well, the dogs, though, it's funny because, like, we know, like, we were talking about, like, a trip that we know we have planned for the summer that's, like, a family trip. And we were talking, and I was like, I already start to feel anxiety for the dogs because I know how much they're going to hate having to be boarded. But I'm like, they're so bad. Like, when Gully came and stayed with me over the Christmas shopping weekend, she kept trying to get Mabel to warm up to her, which she kind of does, but she still acts weird. And Gully said, "Mabel, I'm trying to help you out because if you would warm up to me, I could come stay with you while your mom's out of town." But, like, they can't, even like when my parents pull up, my dad said yesterday, he said, it's like it's a new world for them every day. Like they've never, my parents come by four times a week. You know what I mean? So it's like, but every time they bark at them, like we've got like dangerous intruders coming into the backyard. So it's just crazy. So it's like, I can't leave. Nobody can stay with them. So it's like, you forced my hand, Mabel. You have to go stay at the vet.
Oh, I don't even know. Hazel does have, she does like people. Like there are certain people she really likes, but unfortunately, most of those people live out of state.
Maybe that's why she likes them.
But anyway, I don't know. She loves my friend Daphne. Okay. She loves my sister and my brother-in-law, and she actually really loves my daddy. You know, I don't know. She got okay when I had some high school friends come stay this last summer. But by and large, anybody who approaches the door, it is high alert. It is code orange. It is like lock her down. It's no bueno. So
danger.
Yes. So anyway, so that's the good times we're having at our house right now in the animal world.
Well, we are just trying to get back in the swing of real life, as I know you are, after the Christmas holidays, which is always, I feel like it's always the hardest to get back in the swing because the Christmas holidays to me, number one, they don't ever seem quite long enough, I feel like, you know, and it's cold. So it's like, I felt like that first morning to get Caroline back up, which we actually had to start like Tuesday because she had soccer practice. So we were back getting up early, even though she didn't have school. But it's like, I'm like, this is just cruel to have to like go back to getting up at 7 a.m. and it's like 25 degrees outside, you know?
It's so much harder to get out of the bed in January than it is in August.
It is. Uh-huh. It is. It just feels like, oh, and you've got to go and you're like sitting there thinking like, I need to go out and start the car. So at least the car's not freezing when we get in. It's a whole, but I mean, kind of, I'll say here's the beauty of the winter carpool is you really can just put on your puffy coat over your pajamas and drive your child to school and drop them off.
Well, you know, the winter is when I take my makeup with me to work. Like, I don't even try. I don't even try to get my makeup on before I leave the house. Like, I need to stay warm and cozy as long as possible. So if that means I'm sitting at my desk, putting my makeup on when I get to school, that is fine by me. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's part of my treat to myself when it's really cold outside.
Okay. I think that's a good treat. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good treat.
Stay in bed a little bit longer.
Okay. Okay. So we went to see, here's what I need to discuss. I've got a couple of things.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, did you watch any movies over the holidays in theater and or at home?
I watched zero movies over the holidays because I was too busy watching The Great British Baking Show.
Okay.
I was deeply involved to the point that I will tell you on New Year's Day when I made Mexican cornbread. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one second. My plug just, no, it didn't. I don't know what I just thought. Okay. So to the point that when I made Mexican cornbread on New Year's Day, which if I can just say, I love cooking New Year's Day food. I try to make everything that mama used to make. It brings me great joy to make that stuff. So I make Mexican cornbread and cheese grits and collard greens and black-eyed peas. And I made the collard greens of my life this time. I don't even care if it sounds like I'm bragging, because they were something else. Anyway, I made the Mexican cornbread. And as I took it out of the oven, I told David, I said, I know I've watched a lot of episodes of the Great British Baking Show this Christmas, but the bake on this thing is fantastic. Look, it's crisp around the edges. It's cooked through. It's not close together in the center, and there's no part of it that's raw. I feel good about it. So that's why I didn't watch any movies. I was all piled up with Paul and Mary and some Genovese sponge cakes.
Okay. And mincemeat pie. Did they ever make like a mincemeat pie? That feels like a British something to me.
They do make some different, like sometimes they make savory things. And so they'll make like a shepherd's pie or it's fat. I won't even go down that rabbit trail. It's changed my life a little bit in terms of, I love it. But anyway, as you were saying, you went to the movies.
So, I'll start first with, okay, so I finally watched, because it was on demand, I finally watched Reese Witherspoon's Home Again movie.
Oh, I've never seen that.
That came out in the fall. Well, okay, so I had thought when it came out, I was excited when I saw the previews, because I was like, oh, good, it's a romantic comedy, which I feel like there is like a dearth of romantic comedies in the world these days. I don't know what happened to Notting Hills and Sleepless in Seattle's and You've Got Mail and all that, but we don't make those anymore, apparently, because we're too busy making all the Marvel movies. So, Justice League and all those. So I was like, okay, I'm all in for Reese Witherspoon. But then I heard different people that saw it and they said, well, it's not a romantic comedy per se. So you kind of have to lower your expectations of what it is. But I have to say, I really enjoyed it. It has the feel and the look of a romantic comedy. Reese Witherspoon is darling. I mean, like, so cute. She plays a 40-ish mom. Actually, it's her 40th birthday on the movie. And she's a mom of two girls. And it's kind of a little bit of her childhood and her relationship with these guys that she gets to know. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say it was totally worth watching. So I really enjoyed that.
It's on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. It was on demand. So I watched it on Reverse. So, but it was really good. So I stayed up. I think that's what I did New Year's Eve after Mariah Carey performed. I think I turned on.
Know I stayed up for Mariah. You know I did.
Well, nobody brought her tea. She didn't have her tea.
Hey, somebody needed to get her tea. Listen, I was, you know, and I won't chase this rabbit either, but I was so curious as to whether or not she was going to wear a bodysuit. So, because we had that whole discussion last year about when did we decide that was appropriate behavior for 40-something women, like to lounge around in our bodysuits.
Yeah.
And so, I was wondering if she was going to wear a bodysuit, which the bodysuit might have actually given her more coverage than that dress did. But I was fascinated. I've never cheered somebody on, and then looked side-eyed at it at the same time, like I did that night. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I was just, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's funny. So New Year's Eve, so I'll back up. So New Year's Eve, so Caroline ended up getting invited. She went down to one of her soccer friends' ranch with some girls for New Year's Eve and the day before. So she was gone for two nights. So Perry and I were home alone. And so it was kind of that weird, like, well, it's New Year's Eve and we're like, I'm going to say we're single. That's how it felt. And we're single. So what do we do? Like, it felt like some pressure. And so, because you think, can we just stay home in our pajamas if we go out?
I'm Sally O'Malley. Yep.
Well, and I mean, I basically...
Kit.
And I had basically spent my entire Christmas break. I mean, by the fact that every time I did laundry, all I was washing was pajamas. You know, I mean, it's not like I had really ventured out. And it was so cold here, like... unnaturally cold for how cold it usually gets here. But so Perry was like, well, why don't you make us reservations somewhere and we'll go to an early dinner? And I was like, okay, because we felt like, well, we ought to get out and do something. So we went to a 6:30 dinner.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we did.
Take the 5:30 for when you hit your like 65. You say,
exactly.
You can do 6:30 until then.
Well, and I got to, we ended up going to this place called Max's Wine Dive, because by the time I made reservations on New Year's Eve, we were very limited as to the places where there were still reservations available that didn't start at like 9 o'clock. And I was like, no, our goal is we want to be home in bed by like 8:30. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We want in pajamas by 8:30. So we went to Max's Wine Dive. But so It was good. The food's always good, but we were sitting there and they had the TV. They have a TV in there because it's, you know, it's kind of like a bar. And so they had a TV set up. Well, they had Rockin' New Year's Eve on, okay. Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest rocking New Year's Eve on. But then this younger couple who was much younger than us and maybe dating, I don't know that they were even married, but they were very young and they were very cute. But they came and sat at a table that was kind of right by ours, you know, not so close. You know how sometimes in those restaurants where you feel like, well, just why don't you just join us in all of our conversation because you're right here. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there right there next to us and we're kind of like listening to them. Well, at one point, I guess it was when Sugarland came on or Little Big Town. I don't know who it was. But the guy kept saying to his date, he goes, is that J-Lo? I think that's J-Lo. Do you think that? And the girl kept saying, that's not J-Lo. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's J-Lo. It went on. I can't even tell you how long that and Perry and I both just kept trying to keep our conversation going, but it was that awkward that all we could hear was J-Lo, J-Lo, J-Lo. And like, as soon as they got up, cause they left before us, they finished their date. Cause that, and I'm like, y'all are younger than us. Y'all need to like at least get dessert or something. I mean, but maybe they were going on to some other party. They weren't just going home to pajamas like us. But as soon as they got up and walked out of the room, Perry said, I just wanted to say, dude, you need to let it go. That wasn't J-Lo. Just shut up about J-Lo. It went on and on and on. We're like, that is not J-Lo. So, and his date was so annoyed. I thought, you have no game. You need to quit talking about it being J-Lo. So anyway, so we did that. Then we came home. Perry went to bed by about 10 o'clock. I stayed up and watched Mariah and then watched Home Again.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, David was in bed probably by 10 and Alex and I stayed up. And so I guess that's just where we are now. That's just,
yeah, it just is what it is. Uh-huh. I mean, well, and I'm like, and really, I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, in fact, one of our conversations at dinner, Perry, because we laughed because we could see at the restaurant, they had like balloons that I guess they were going to release at midnight. And so we were watching, and then San Antonio downtown, they have like a big New Year's thing. And so Perry was like, how much money would somebody have to give you to go downtown right now and stay until midnight? Like, and so we were talking about the money and then we laughed at how old we were because we kept talking about how much money it would have to be, but we stipulated it would have to be tax-free.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
It's like, I'll need $10,000, but I'm going to need it to be tax-free if I'm going to go downtown.
Okay. So Alex, I shouldn't say every New Year's, but for the last several New Year's days, he has gone to a friend's house and they do the polar plunge, which it's a bunch of boys and they jump in the pool. So this particular day, it was 26 degrees outside.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And I think the pool water was something like, the pool water was like around 40, 42. So Alex was the first one in and he said like there was the shock of it that lasted for a couple of seconds. And then it was like needles.
That's what I was going to say. It's like jumping into a thing and needles.
So our discussion later was how much money would it take to jump in that pool. I can't even, there's not an amount that makes sense there for me with that. There's not an amount that where I go,
No, no amount of money, because I think just to even go outside, after we ate, Perry was like, it kind of feels nice out here. Do you want to walk around? And like, we walk like three steps and I was like, this feels, and he was like, okay, we need to just go home. And I was like, yeah, I can't even speak. I'm so cold. Like,
I decided to go walking New Year's Day after we got home from the polar plunge. And I just walked in our neighborhood, but I got about a half a mile from the house and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Is my nose going to stay attached to my face or like, but I couldn't, it was bitter. It was just bitter. It was so cold. I don't know.
Well, and that's, you weren't even dealing with a bomb cyclone.
No, it's not dealing with a bomb cyclone. Our East Coast friends. I was not.
A bomb cyclone.
I just can't even, I mean, I don't like to be hot, but I really could not live, I don't believe, happily in a very cold climate. I think I would be miserable.
No, I think, you know, it's been so cold here, so much colder than usual. And it's, here's my other thing that has struck me, is it's been so much grayer than it usually is. And like, it was amazing how even like, I guess it was yesterday morning, the sun was out for a while. And like, I was like, oh, I think I've had seasonal like depression a little bit, you know, like it just, I needed the sun because it's made me not want to get out of the house. Cause I'm just like, well, I'm looking outside and I'm like, it's just gray and kind of dark and cold, and it just doesn't really motivate me to go out and live my best life.
Well, I believe you are aware of the winter when I watched that Sandra Bullock movie over and over and over.
The Proposal. I do remember.
Yeah.
And we were all on the hunt for a gray and white striped scarf like the one she wears.
Yes. Yes. I think I had a little bit of that then too. I can't do the gray. I cannot. Mm-hmm. I cannot. It makes me so sad. It makes me very sad.
Yeah, it's oh. And they were saying, because it's kind of warmed up here, but they were like, it's going to stay gray for a while. And I was like, oh, God. So anyway, but it'll be hot and sunny again before we know it. Okay, so the other movie, so Caroline and I, we really had wanted to go see a lot of movies, and it was just, I think our time just went by so fast and we didn't have as much time as we thought, but we did go see on, I guess it was, I don't know, after New Year's sometime, we went and saw The Greatest Showman.
Which I am dying to see and hope to see very soon.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'm going to make a confession here that is going to make me not sound very sophisticated. I have kind of always been a person, like, I appreciate that people like musicals. I appreciate that people want to go to New York and they go see musicals. You went and saw Dear Evan Hansen and were like, it changed my life.
The music also composed by the people who composed the music for Greatest Showman, by the way.
Okay, so you went and saw Dear Evan Hansen, like you like got all into Hamilton and were all on board for that. I still have not listened to one thing from Hamilton. Like I just have never been a person, which is ironic considering that I saw Grease probably 475 times during the formative years of my childhood. But I've just never been like a musical.
At the theater, you saw it 475 times.
Yes, of course. Yes. But I have never been one that is like, well, I would love to go see that performance in the theater. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want to see. Here's the thing. I get that it was great and it ran forever. I don't want people dressed up as cats lurking about. That doesn't appeal to me. That's what I'm saying. And maybe it's just because I've never experienced it. Maybe if I had done it, I would be like, I'm all in for a Broadway show. So I think that I have always been a person that was like, I don't really like a musical because it feels unnatural to me that people burst out into song. You know what I'm saying?
I totally understand. As the person who was on this very podcast probably 5 years ago saying I had no patience for a musical, and people, the whole Tom Hanks thing he said that time about how it drives me crazy because people sing about how it's tough to be a train on the train tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
But
I get it.
I feel like given my undying love for La La Land last Christmas.
Also, music also composed by the same guys who did Dear Evan Hansen and The Greatest Showman.
Well, I didn't even know that. And so, but now The Greatest Showman, it is so fantastic. I really went into it much like I did when I went to Waco to go see the Magnolia Place, feeling like there's no way this can possibly live up to the online hype. Like, I'm going to be disappointed. Like, this is not going to be good. It's so incredibly good. The music is so incredibly good. Hugh Jackman is a wonder. Like, it. The whole thing is just so good. I can't get the music out of my head. I've been listening to it constantly. So I'm like, well, who knew? I'm a musical person. I didn't know.
I'm so happy right now. Okay. And here's my thing about this. And if David ever listens to this podcast, which this may be months down the road, but if he ever were to listen to this podcast, he would pipe in right now and say, here's my thing about specifically the three musical things we've mentioned, and I would say even Hamilton, but especially La La Land, Dear Evan Hansen, and what I know of The Greatest Showman, I can't say definitively yet.
Yes.
I tend to experience these things, and my reaction is, well, the gospel was all over it. And so every time I'm very moved by something artistically, he'll say, you know, the gospel's all over it. And I said, well, it is. The gospel's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think with these particular composers, and I know that one of them is a believer. I don't know that I don't know the religious beliefs of anybody else in that whole equation, but I know one of them is a believer. And I do think there's something that whole, all, like, all truth is God's truth. And so you there's something deeper than just what you're seeing. You know, it's
for sure.
There's a whole other like redemptive piece running underneath that thing. And that was certainly true in Hamilton, certainly true in even La La Land. I feel like there was a whole, like, it spoke to me so much about calling and, mm-hmm. and Dear Evan Hansen about repentance and restoration and all those things. And so that's why I'm really excited to see The Greatest Showman, because I feel like there's a sermon in there, you know? Yeah.
They're for sure. I mean, I am not one to come out and say the gospel was all over that. I've probably never necessarily said that one time, but I will say in The Greatest Showman, I mean, I felt like there were so many like deeper lessons about people and about humanity and about following your dreams and the dreams God puts in your heart and about embracing everybody's uniqueness and finding the beauty in everything and just the way we treat people. And I don't know, the whole thing was fantastic. It was, I mean, like, I can't remember the last time, because I wasn't even like this with La La Land. Like, I can't remember the last time that I watched a movie and thought I would sit right here in this theater and watch it all over again right this minute.
Because that's how I was with La La Land. I was mm-hmm. sad to leave. So I can't wait. Yeah. I'm going to take Alex this afternoon. We're going to go see it after we go to this birthday party.
You do. You've got to go see it. You've got to go see it on the big screen. And it was one of those. And you know how there's very few movies, I feel like, these days. And this was one of them. Like, when it ended, everybody just sat there quiet and then just started applauding, like, in the theater. Like, it was, it's just so good. Like, it just, oh my gosh, it's so good. So that was one of the highlights of my Christmas season.
Okay, there's a show at 4 o'clock. We're going.
Okay, well, you're gonna have to let me know as soon as you finish, because I'm telling you, it's so good.
Okay,
gonna love it.
This is a completely different deal than movies as far as entertainment during the Christmas break. But okay. How much did you enjoy the playoff games on New Year's Day?
Oh, that's so funny. I was just sitting here thinking, you just read my mind. I was just sitting here thinking, my other highlight was the Rose Bowl was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. By the way, did you know the grass on the field at the Rose Bowl is a variety that was developed at Mississippi State University? Just an FYI.
Well, I didn't.
Are you even surprised? Because it was beautiful.
No, not even a bit.
But I'm here to tell you, I thought on New Year's Day, I thought if this day is any indication of what the rest of the year holds, I'm going to be the most content I have ever been in my life. I've got my collard greens. I'm home and I'm warm and I'm under a fuzzy blanket. And what?
You had a good bake on your cornbread.
Excellent bake on my cornbread. And one of the finest football games I have ever seen in my life is playing out right in front of me.
It was that football game, and it was so funny because I had felt like I was more excited about the Alabama-Clemson game.
Me too.
In my head. But by the time that Rose Bowl was over, I mean, like, I kept wanting to replicate that same feeling for the Alabama-Clemson game, but it was just a little bit of drudgery after all the excitement of the Rose Bowl. I mean, that game. And then, you know, I told you, I already loved the game. I loved everything about the game. And then when I went on, you know, because I was doing my deeper dive into the teams and stuff after the game went on Twitter, and that I found out that Jake Fromm, who's their precious little freshman quarterback at Georgia, that his Twitter name is Jake from State Fromm. I'm like, well, I love you forever.
Yeah. Sir, I will follow you as far as you care to go in the game.
I'm going to cheer you on through. Listen, you are now, Georgia is now going to be my second favorite team because of Jake from State Fromm. I'm like, that's the funniest. Like, I just so appreciated the wit of that. And I just, the whole game was so good.
It was so good. I watched the Auburn game. The whole bowl game scenario was delightful. And of course, State had a really good bowl game, which was fun. But I'm here to tell you that Georgia-Oklahoma game will go down. Maybe it's no doubt it's one of my top five favorite games
I've ever watched. Yeah.
It was just a treasure.
It was incredible. And I can't remember the last time that I really felt so bad. And I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I was cheering for Georgia because of SEC, but I also SEC, did I say that? SEC. Yes. But it was funny though, because I've thought, I feel so bad for Oklahoma too. Yes. Like, I can't remember the last time I felt so bad for a team. Cause I'm like, everybody fought so hard. I was like, I'm going to feel so bad for whoever this doesn't work out for.
I know. It's one of those games where you think, oh gosh, it really is a shame somebody has to lose. Somebody has to lose, but I wish they didn't.
Yeah. It was, it was so good. It was just, yeah, I loved it.
I was talking to my friend Lee about it earlier this week, because we tend to do, we work together, but we tend to do kind of a breakdown on all of our most recent sports experiences at least once a week, you know, and it's always like this time of year, we always talk about Mississippi State women's basketball, which they're so good. And then our men's basketball team is doing well. But she said about that, about the Oklahoma-Georgia game, she said, kind of what you said about Greatest Showman, she said, I would watch that game again. Like, I would sit and watch every bit of that game again. It was so good. So, clearly, we both enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was so good. It was one of the best football games, I feel like, of this whole season. So, it was amazing. So, I loved it. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So, we watched that. And then I immediately got sucked in after that, because everybody had said after New Year's Day was when the Aggies, we were going to finally name our defensive coordinator. So, we were waiting on that deal. So, I'm going to tell you that that is really, I told Gully, when I look back at the early days of 2018, people will say that was when she got overly invested in the defensive coordinator search on TexAggs. Like, to the point that I finally put in my cell phone number so that I could get, like, text, I could get a text message the minute that the news broke.
I have been there, sister.
I mean, well, and the whole thing had been because they had been dropping clues and everybody had finally figured out, they were like, because they were like, it's not a coach in the playoffs. So everybody knew, okay, so it's not Venables. It's, you know, it's not Pruitt because he's going to Tennessee. Like, you kind of know, like, the whole, but then it was like, they zoomed in on Aranda. So you're like waiting for that. And then the fact that like he pursued us and then LSU came back. I mean, it was like a soap opera. I'm going to tell you, there was a thread on TexAggs that was called Aranda Geddon. I mean, it was like.
It makes me so happy.
Oh, I got so into it. But the whole thing, and I won't go on long about this because I know not everybody, but so I've been all over TexAggs, which is like our message board, our big message board, and it's run by Billy Luigi, and he always has inside. But it's fascinating to me, and I would love to know the dynamics, because he clearly gets, the athletic department clearly gives him scoop, and he's the one that ultimately broke the news, Elko that we hired. But there's this whole dynamic of like who gets what scoop when, and how do you know, and then when are you okay to release it? Because then people started saying the reason the Aranda deal fell apart was because somebody leaked it sooner than it was supposed to, and it gave LSU too much time to mobilize. But then people are like, well, that's their agents. It's just, the whole thing is kind of like a little soap opera to me.
Oh, no. I mean, this is what we went through with Mullen leaving, you know, where like, people start, you know, I've told that story about sitting at the football game and seeing the tweet saying this will be Dan Mullen's last game at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And I do think the agents have so much to do with it. And I think so it's strategery, George Bush, but it's so much of it is, I think, you know, everybody trying to position themselves to be in the best possible situation, including like the schools and the coaches and the agents and the whole thing. And so it's fascinating to see how that plays out. It really, it's the same thing we see going on like in out of Washington, where you've got, you know, these like timely leaks, but no, and well, maybe, and then it doesn't play out. And it's like everybody's playing a game. We're all like, and it's another instance where we're all trapped in an endless game of chicken.
And, yes. You know, and you're trying to, and that's, I mean, because that's what people said. It's like when Aranda came back and was like, never mind, I'm staying at LSU. You're like, well, I mean, who can really turn down $2.5 million guaranteed for 4 years and probably an unofficial thing that you'll be our next head coach? Because I just, I don't think Coach O is long for that coaching job necessarily.
I saw a thing yesterday, and again, I have no idea. You know, again, you don't know how accurate it is, although I think whoever wrote it had, I think whoever wrote it had a good reason to write it, that he's going to be one of the people, even in his second year as head coach, he's on the hot seat, like from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because if nine wins a season wasn't enough for Les Miles, it's not going to be enough for Ed Orgeron. So
no, no, for sure not. I mean, that's, they're not putting up with that nonsense. So, yeah. So it was fascinating to watch that whole thing unfold. So I got real caught up in that. I mean, to the point that when they named Elko, I think that happened on Friday morning or Friday afternoon, they were like, Elko, who's from Notre Dame, will be our next defensive coordinator. Like, I spent some time after that reading the meltdown on the Notre Dame message boards. because you always like to feel validated by how much a school didn't want to lose their coach, you know,
right.
Like it
That's
makes
right.
you feel like, okay, we've made a good decision, because the fact that now they're wanting to fire their athletic director and coach over this mm-hmm. is a good sign. Mm-hmm. So after that, after I read that, I really had this sense of, well, what do I do now? Like, what? Where does my life go from here?
What? I need something new, everybody. You need to come sit over here is what you need to do for my nightly 10 p.m. breakdown on Twitter is what you need to do. That can be your next thing. And that's a whole other story. But when I start clicking on links about 10 o'clock at night, that's what you need to be here for. I don't even know how we used to be college football fans before the internet. Like, we were the best mom white people. We had no idea of all the stuff that was going on, and nobody was plus was making $2.5 million a year to be a defensive coordinator.
No, but, for sure not.
But yeah, I'm with you. You know, I'll get all piled up in that kind of stuff. I love seeing how it plays out.
Yeah,
it's a courtship. You know, I mean, it's The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about. I mean, and that's what they kept saying. They were like, basically a Rhonda. He came back. He proposed to us. Like, he was standing at the altar. He told us he wanted us. Like, he asked whatever and then had us at the altar, like literally contract in hand, and said, never mind. You know what I mean? Like, because they said everybody liked the Louisiana. I mean, if you were to believe the internet, which, as you know, everything on the internet is true. They were like, the Louisiana governor called him and begged him not to leave. I mean,
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be looking forward to, just as somebody who does not necessarily have a dog in this fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking forward to the A&M LSU game next year.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Already. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean?
Just yeah. Like
all the state people are looking forward to the state Florida game that's coming up. I guess it is 2018, this next year. Like, I'm going to have my eyes open for that A&M LSU game.
Yeah. That's we play them in basketball today at 1:30.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what people were saying when we were gloating, when we were prematurely gloating on Tech Zags, people were like, they ought to make the announcement official at the A&M LSU basketball game on Saturday. But then
that would be, Alex would say that would be savage. And then he would, if he could hear me right now, he would have stormed out of the room as he rolled his eyes. Mama, don't say that.
No, how dare you say savage? So that was what part of why when it all happened, it was a Rondageddon. And then you have the meltdown to where everybody has been so excited, and then it's all gloom and doom. Like, now, well, this is over. We're clearly going to end up hiring the defensive coordinator from like Fox mm-hmm. Tech High School, mm-hmm. and we're not going to get any recruits. It's like, it's amazing to me how high we go and then how quick, how low. It's gloom mm-hmm. and doom. And everybody kept saying, like, I think it's okay. Like, I don't think we had other eggs in this basket. But I did get tickled because somebody said A&M, because, you know, we hired Chavis away from LSU 2 years ago or three right. years ago, and then we went after Aranda, and then ultimately we ended up hiring the Notre Dame. And, you know, LSU is the only team that we have not managed to beat at all in our time in the SEC. And they said the Aggies were so determined, like, we're going to figure out how to beat LSU if it kills us. Find us the people.
I didn't realize y'all hadn't beaten them.
We have never beat them. No. And that's why people said it can't be a real rivalry between us and LSU till we actually can win one of the games.
That's a true story. That's a good point.
No, we have not beaten them one time, because we always play them in November, which is, as you know, is historically when the collapse of A&M football happens.
Yeah, that's not y'all's best time.
No, November's not our best month. And so we've never beat LSU.
Well, it has not been your best month so far, but you never know with Jimbo Fisher.
Like, you never know.
You don't know how that thing will go. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. I'm interrupting our talk of football for just 1 second, because I wanted to talk for just a little bit about Casper mattresses. Now, as y'all know, Melanie and I are both tremendous fans of sleeping. We enjoy it. We are good at it. And we would have majored in it in college if we could have. Well, Casper mattresses are so good for sleeping. And listen, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable when you do. Casper mattresses provide all the support the human body needs in all the right places. They're obsessively engineered. They have just the right sink and just the right bounce. And they're also affordable because Casper sells directly to consumers. They also offer free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. Plus, if you look at Casper and Amazon and Google reviews, you'll see that Casper mattresses have over 20,000 reviews online and an average of 4.8 stars. People really enjoy this mattress. Even better is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. Casper mattresses are designed, developed, and assembled in the U.S., and if you enjoy sleeping, you will want to give a Casper mattress a try. So, get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/bigboo, that's casper.com/BIGBOO, and using the promo code BIGBOO at checkout. That's casper.com/BIGBOO for $50 off select mattresses, and use the promo code BIGBOO at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Here comes the rest of episode 92. Okay, so the other sort of rivalry thing that has played out, that it's not an actual rivalry, but it's there is a sense of competition here.
Yes.
Is Justin Timberlake, Bruno Mars.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You know I love Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. You know I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you that Bruno Mars, he won this one game, set, match. I can't even... To me, if you're going to go like old school in living color, retro video versus uh-huh. like Steve Jobs imitation of like a robot dancing, uh-huh. no. Justin, man of the woods, that did not work for you.
Now, I do like the song, I will say. I do like Justin's new song. We've had some discussion about it in our family. I will tell you, what does this say about my parenting? We got in the car yesterday to go to school. I've got the song pulled up on my phone, ready uh-huh. to play it. I look over, Alex is plugging his phone in because he's ready to play it. Like, because neither one of us had heard it. So we were like, it's, 7 o'clock in the morning and we're getting ready. We're fixing to listen to JT for the first time.
I'm going to tell you what that mm-hmm. tells me about your parenting is, when is your parenting book coming out? That's what I'm going to tell you, because I'll buy it.
I'm on wager, I guess, that there's a large percentage of people who might not feel the same way. But it all goes back to, this is my very favorite stage of parenting so far. I love it. I dropped Alex off at something at a church last night and we had laughed so hard on the way. I laughed like I was so happy. Like, just, yeah. I love this stage so much. But anyway, so I do like the song. The video yeah. left me puzzled and also thinking, well, probably won't watch this one as a family. Like, probably yeah. not gonna.
Yeah.
But Bruno Mars, I don't know any. I mean, he does. God. He just, you know what he does? Here's the thing, Bruno Mars, and this is a good lesson to me. Bruno Mars is not trying to make any big statements.
No.
Bruno Mars is not trying to make any big commentary on our culture or on, like, what life is like in the 21st century. Bruno Mars is just having the best time. He yep. is having more fun than anybody is having in their career. And so I think that's why his music feels so current, but so nostalgic all at the same time.
Yes.
Because it's a throwback to when we all listened to stuff that was not a commentary, that was not trying to make a statement. And, mm-hmm. and there's a time and a place for that kind of stuff. Absolutely. But I love his little niche where he is here for the good times.
Yep. 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 It is. He's what you, I mean, that's the soundtrack you want at your party. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Is Bruno Mars. You could just put on straight Bruno Mars the whole time. Caroline always says, and I think this is so true, and you haven't really watched Parks and Rec, but if for people who have, there's a character, Tom Haverford, on there that's all about like swag and he's just hilarious. And she always says, he tries to be super cool all the time, but he's also really a dork at heart. But she's like, Bruno Mars is Tom Haverford if Tom Haverford had made it big. Like, he pulls off things that you're like, no normal person could pull that off. They couldn't pull off those shoes, those hats, the gold right. lame stuff, the whole deal. But he totally does. That Finesse video, I'm telling you, I just adore it. I adore the song. I love everything he does.
Somebody tweeted the other day, I think it was my friend Aaron Moon tweeted, like, he's not our generation's Michael Jackson. He's not our generation's Prince. He is his own thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that I think what's interesting about him is he is his own thing, and he doesn't have, there's so far as we know, there's no controversial side to him. There's no what's that like behind the scenes side to him. He's just, I don't know. He's just out there and he's having a good time with his friends, and
he's so
stinking talented.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, so, and I think Justin, I mean, I hold out great hope because like you said, I like the song. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really a fan of the video necessarily. It felt a little trying too hard for me. And I felt like I was very disjointed because I felt like when the album title was released and it was called Man of the Woods, I really thought, are we going to get is this going to be a Chris Stapleton slash the Civil War's kind of folksy type thing? Mm-hmm. And so then for that first song to come out, I thought, well, now I'm very confused by Man of the Woods.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, because I feel like, and that whole trailer that came out now, I have to think that it's all going to come together. We're all going to have an idea maybe in a month and about why why he gave it that title and why he's
Man of the Woods.
Man of the Woods. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That was kind of mine. But I feel like in that battle, I feel like Bruno Mars, hands down, won.
All right. So you mentioned before we started that you have a new hair product that you're enthusiastic about.
I do. Listen, and I was waiting. I knew about it. I'm going to tell you, I've been sitting on this for a while because I wanted to make sure that it was as good as I think it is.
We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
I'm dedicated to beauty product research, but because here's the thing, it's not cheap, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that it is worth it.
Okay.
If you find yourself in need of volume, which who doesn't? So
if you can see how serious my face is right now, I am listening to you, you are about to drop a nugget of biblical wisdom that is going to change my whole life.
Pen in hand.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Okay.
Well, as you should be if you knew. So it is called, it's that Kerastase brand, you know, it's Kerastase. Mm-hmm. Kerastase. I don't know that I'm saying that right, but it is called Volume and Powder. So VIP, but it's Volume and Powder is what VIP stands for in this case. Volumizing Hairspray.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to tell you that it is not really a hairspray per se. What it is it's a cross between a dry shampoo and a powder. But it gives you this, but you spray it. So it's an aerosol. But I mean, I am telling you, when I lift up that front part of my hair where I like some volume and spray it kind of under there, it's like I've just teased it. Like it stays and it holds and it gives you body, and it's dry, but it's not as dry as a dry shampoo. So I can kind of use it in lieu of a dry shampoo, but I can also use it on clean hair and it doesn't make my hair, you know how with the dry shampoo, if you use it the first day, then you've pretty much cooked your hair because it's going to feel super dirty. It does not feel like that. It is light, but it holds. I mean, I'm telling you, it's so good.
Okay. I'm looking, I'm fixing to order it. I'm doing just as I am wont to do when you mentioned something new, like I did with the Gap pajama leggings. I'm fixing to order it.
Yeah, it's good. And I mean, and I'm telling you, and it's $30 a bottle. It is not cheap, but I use it when I really need it, but it's got this kind of I don't know, this teasing effect. I mean, it's good. And I feel like it'll last. It's a good size bottle. So I feel like it'll last me a while.
Okay.
If you want to make an investment in your hair.
I am continuing to cart as we speak.
And it smells good. So you got that going for you. When you spray it, you're like, it smells good.
Okay. And so do you use it every day, or do you just use it your second day, third day hair kind of situation?
No, I'll tell you when I really have liked using it the most is really first day hair, because I feel like my first day hair can be a little limp when I first blow it dry because it's so clean, it gives it just a little bit of grit and texture. So I'll use it first day. And then I really have gotten to where if I'm going somewhere with my hair, because every time I go somewhere, I go with my hair. But if I'm going somewhere I take my hair with me. If I'm going to take my hair with me, I mean, if it's a day where I'm not just have my hair up in a bun or whatever, I'm using it. I'm addicted to it.
Are you using your regular hairspray on top of that?
I am some if I feel like I need it. Right now in the cold, dry weather, I don't feel like I need hairspray necessarily because my it'll stay. But I'll still use hairspray like on the, like just all over like the ends of my hair. You know what I mean? Just to hold my curl if okay. I feel like I need to. I use at my roots.
Okay. I absolutely just ordered it. So
yeah,
it's not going to be here quickly, but it'll be here next week.
Okay. Well, by the time of the next podcast, you can report back. But I mean, like, and I've noticed it, like if I do it on the back of my hair, like before I put my hair in a ponytail, like it gives it nice volume back there without me having to like sit and tease the heck out of it.
Okay.
So I'm a fan. It's my, and I will say, like, I've had the Orbay, like they have a dry, like a texturizing spray, and this one is better than that one.
Okay. All right.
And it's cheaper. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, I feel like you are a reliable source for new finds. I feel like you have not led us astray with the rosehip oil. Like that's certainly, as I applied mine this morning, I thought, Lord, what did I do before the rosehip oil?
So I know. It's hard to remember, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It's been a little bit of a game changer. So
yeah, I know.
Okay. So Kara says volume in powder, volumizing hairspray.
Yep. Yeah, I'm telling you, I love it. And I really have used it. I've been using it for about a month because I was like, I really want to make sure that it's as good as I think it is. And it is.
Okay. So stay tuned for follow up about the new volume and powder spray. And then also my reactions to the Greatest Showman. We've got some follow up to do on our next podcast.
We do. Now I will follow up. Well, this is kind of a little bit, you mentioned the British Baking Show because you had told us last podcast, you've been watching that. Yes. And as you know, I had been all into the Royals because I've watched The Crown.
Yes.
Both seasons and now most of first season over again. And then I watched Queen Elizabeth at 90, which was all a retrospective. So then somebody mentioned, I can't remember in the comments somewhere on the podcast, that they said they recommended that I watch The House of Windsor.
Okay.
Which is kind of it's on Netflix. It's like a historical, like it starts with, I guess it starts with Queen Victoria and Albert, and it talks about how the House of Windsor has survived. And it's the backstory is, which I did not realize, was essentially with Queen Victoria was German and so was Albert. And so their last name was, God, I'm not going to be able to remember it. It was like Hoya Saxon Goat was their.
Okay.
Was their name, and they were very much German. And so when World War One happened, that became a whole public relations nightmare because they're German. And so this whole thing, so they had to figure out. And so that's when they had like the person that was like working for them or whatever, he put the spin and changed their last name to Windsor.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. It was fascinating. It's so good. So I've only watched one. I'm going to tell you what else I didn't know is that in England, apparently, you pronounce dynasty.
Well, and you build your dynasty as you walk towards the lift.
That is. And you wear a jumper, but it was like, they were like the dynasty of the whatever. And I thought, well, that would change the whole landscape of 80s television for me if that show had been called Dynasty.
Dynasty. For when Crystal and Alexis threw each other on the pond on Dynasty. Yeah,
on Dynasty. So they don't say Dynasty, which I...
How about it? I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have to start like at the beginning of the podcast when we do the introductions, you're going to have to say, hey, this is Melanie. This is Big Mama, Anglophile. Like, we're gonna have to tweak that a little bit, I feel like. I will say you have gone as deep into your understanding of the royal family as I have committed to my 10 o'clock nightly Twitter clicks to try to keep up with some things.
I know. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I mean, the House of Windsor, I started watching it last night and I was like, oh, like it. But I feel like I've always had this in me because I felt like years ago when I read, God, what was the name of the book? It was by Philippa Gregory. It was about Anne Boleyn. It was the,
I remember when you read that, but I can't think of the name. Remember? Of it.
I can't think of the name of it right now. It was one of those books that everybody read like 10 years ago or something. But I feel like I've always had it in me to be completely sucked into the whole British family. But I feel like never to the level that The Crown has been able to take me, because now I'm so fascinated by the whole thing. And so, and now The House of Windsor, and it's everything I love, because now I'm watching The House of Windsor. So, I mean, now I feel like I've got real facts I'm going to throw out at a dinner party.
That's right. This is my whole thing with my Twitter stuff. I've got real facts, people. You've got real facts. These are not about the same things, but you do. Knowledge is power, everybody. Knowledge is power.
It is. It is. And now all I need to do is figure out how to maybe get invited to some dinner parties so that I can use these facts.
That's right. That's right. When was the last time you were at a legitimate dinner party?
I can't. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. I don't know. Like, I've been to a rehearsal dinner, but I don't think that's it's somebody's house.
You went to somebody's house and they had all their great china laid out, all their crystal, where everybody was seated around a dining room table, and it was not a holiday.
I must say, not one time has that ever happened to me. I can't think of one time, honestly. I don't think I know those people.
Isn't that something?
Those are the people who enjoy musicals. They're doing that, and then they're going to musicals, and I've never been in that crowd.
Well, I'm going to say, if you have been on board with The Greatest Showman, I don't know. We may have a New York trip in our future at some point. We're going to get you on Broadway next.
I feel like a New York trip, and I also feel like a London trip. I mean, so many people have said that they would love for us to go be there for Meghan and Harry's wedding. And as much as I would...
Hamilton is doing a production in London. So, kill two birds with one stone.
God, that would be so amazing. I laughed because Courtney, Little Lie to Mine, she has messaged me a couple of times and made comments that you and I should have, put together a big, Meghan and Harry wedding watching party, and do and apparently she's doing something like that where she's got invitations and the whole thing. And I'm like, well, that would be the most fun, except for the part where we actually had to do it. It would be.
How would we do that? Could we do that online?
I think we could do it online. I mean, I would love, in theory, I love the idea of that. But to actually put together a whole party feels like a lot of work. But if we could just be online with live commentary.
Yes. Could we get to the same place? Could you and I be in the same place?
Well, we might be able to. May 19th is sketchy. Isn't that the wedding date, or is it May 18th? It's something that.
May 19th is not as sketchy for me as it is for you, I don't think.
No, but I don't know. Well, we need to look into that.
Okay.
We need to look into that. It would involve getting up early in the morning, probably, depending on, but that's okay.
Listen.
It'd be worth it.
It's worth it. It's worth it. We really do need to be together. We need to be in the same place when we see her wedding gown for the first time.
I do agree with that. I do agree with that, because I feel like we're going to have a lot of thoughts one way or the other.
I feel like we could do an Instagram live if we were together. I mean, that and watch it with people.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Technology is something else. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
It is a wonder. Well, maybe we need to look into that a little bit more and figure out what we could do about that. Because I'm like, in theory, that sounds great. I just don't know how to make that happen in actuality.
Okay. Here's my last question, and then I've got to take Alex to a birthday party.
Okay.
Did you think of, I know everybody likes to have their one word and the whole thing. Did you come up with any sort of word or goal or thoughts about the new year? I know we're not super into that, but I do think about it. So did you?
No, I mean, I kind of go back. I think I said on the last podcast, no, that's my word. Yeah. I'm sorry if that came across like a joke.
I just didn't know if you had any additional insights in terms of goals. I have thought 1,000 times about you saying your word was no, and I have laughed to myself.
But. No. I think for me, it's because it is a new year, and because the holidays, it always feels like a time to kind of go, okay, I need a little reset in my overall lifestyle in terms of eating and exercising, just because Christmas, I fell down a dark, non-nutritional hole filled with cinnamon rolls and all that stuff. And I was like, that is going to need to be reset. So I feel like, but last week was such a weird week. So I didn't really necessarily believe I needed to start on January 1st. It's my problem.
Yeah.
So I had to start.
It's like, it's a wash. I mean,
it's like you get like a trial week. You get like a trial week to go, let's see how this goes. You know, like, and I felt like we were still on Christmas break. So to me, like, the new year doesn't really begin until Christmas break. And then our Christmas break ended on a Thursday. So I was like, well, a Thursday seems like a bad time to start anything new.
Right.
So really, I feel like Monday the 8th. But then, of course, that's going to be the national championship game. So you can't expect me to not eat queso on Monday night as I watch Alabama and Georgia play. So really, it's looking like Tuesday the 9th is my best shot. Being a better person.
That's a beautiful goal, I feel like.
What about you?
I really, in typical me fashion, I kept thinking like, Lord, is there a word for me? And I bet I got about 9 of them. Like I went from serve to something else to something else. Mm-hmm. I never knew. Here's my thing. I would like to continue to try to be a healthier person. And I did think that this was the first year in a really long time for me when I did not go into the new year thinking this is the year when I want to start to exercise more.
Yes.
So I would like to continue to exercise and continue to live in a way that, like, even I know we laugh about me not eating a lot of gluten and all that kind of stuff, but it really does make me feel so much better. So, so I just would like to continue to do those things. And I would also like to maybe write a book this year and maybe check that off my list. It's kind of been hanging over my head for about 8 months. So I would like to write a book. And so, I don't know. I just, you know, I, for better or for worse, I'm a very content person. So I don't necessarily, I'm not a big goal setter just because, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's just sort of where I am.
Okay. I mean, I would agree with that. I think I need to write a book this year. So I think that's probably part of it. But I did laugh because Jen Fulweiler did this thing. Did you see, like, she had put like a word of the year generator where you could
I did.
Like,
oh yeah, I did that.
Uh-huh. And what it
mine was rain. Rain. Oh,
like rain, like as in long may she rain or is rain down? Yeah.
No, like rain, like R-E-I-G-N. And I was like, oh, it's my year to be queen. Okay. Oh,
that's powerful. I'm going to tell you that mine, the word, first word that came up, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this and this will be my word. And my first word was sift. And I was like, no, thank you. No, thanks. And I shut that browser window so fast it'd make your head spin. I was like, nope. Not interested.
I want to be at that dinner party where somebody says, Melanie, do you have a word for the year? It's sift.
Sift. I was like, nope.
By the way, I read Jen Fulweiler's, and I know you've read it, but I read Jen Fulweiler's new book that comes out this year over the break and loved it. Loved it so much. Loved it so much. So
it's so good. It's going to be really good. So maybe we ought to have her on the show at some point. That would be kind of fun.
And it's so good. It's so real. And it's just, it's delightful. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it so much.
She's a great writer. She's a really,
she really
good writer.
Is. When I was reading it, actually, I was not too far into it. And I was like, oh, she's telling this story like it's a real story. Not like me where I just say, and then this happened and then this happened. And then a little bit later, this happened. Like, she has this structured like a novel.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Yes.
Like, very impressive.
And if you knew how many times she does like read throughs and edits and has her husband read through and edit, I'm like, wow, she is really dedicated to like professionalism. So admire that.
What is that like?
I know.
Hey, I've seen before where she's posted her husband's edits. And I said, like, and that was probably my favorite thing actually about her book is the dynamic between her and her husband. I loved it so much, but I thought, oh, I don't know that would go as well in my house.
No. I mean, she asked me one time, she was like, I mean, does Perry, I said, no, I said, I don't know that Perry's read any of my books except maybe one ever, like much less to edit it or to give me feedback on it. That would never work out.
David always reads my, like, when I send you chapters, I send him chapters. Mm-hmm. He always never like to make really big suggestions other than like, I think you're being hard on yourself here, or you know, but not notes. He does not give me notes.
Yeah.
I think that I'm not that mature of a person.
No. So. Well, clearly I'm not, because I didn't want Sif to be my word.
But no, thank you, Sif.
No, thank you. But as I'm thinking about rain, I do feel like for you, that could be a sign that could lend into our royal wedding thing, is maybe what that was telling you.
Perhaps it could. I've already looked at the calendar. Mm-hmm. That weekend of the royal wedding is when I have graduation. But if you could get here, we would have David's technical expertise to maybe make something mm-hmm. happen where it wasn't us sitting under a lamp.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna start looking at that and see, because as of now, my calendar, I don't have anything. Now, you know how school stuff comes up, but as of now, I don't have anything. And so I'm thinking maybe I'll make that one of my goals of 2018. So now I'm up to two goals.
Shoot for the stars.
I'm up to two goals.
What's that expression? Shoot for the stars, and if you miss, you'll land on the moon or something. What's that expression?
It's shoot for the moon, because even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. I've already got two more goals than I had for all of 2017, so I feel good. I feel good about myself.
Clearly, I think a lot about that kind of thing, as evidenced by my beautiful recitation of that expression.
Shoot the stars. If you see a shooting star, wish upon it. And then you'll be by the moon wearing your Gap pajama pants.
And volumizing your hair.
Yes.
With the Karis Day spray.
That's right.
Okay.
Well,
these are lots of good food for thought on this podcast.
I feel like it. We have a lot to report back on in our next edition.
All right. Well, we will talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.